Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Mailbag Monday. Angel and I are here today to answer some questions. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, so let's just jump right in. Joe, what should I do when my kids sass talk me?
Well, are they two or are they 20? How old are they when they're sass talking me? This is not a one moment thing. This isn't a one time deal. It's called training. Train up a child in the way they should go. Proverbs 22:6. When they're old, they won't depart from them. Some people say, well, that means, you know, they'll drift back, but they'll come back. No. Everybody's drifting. I mean, you know, a child, once they're born, starts going astray. You know, the first word they learn is no. So they have to be trained on a regular basis. So, which means you've got to be consistent as a parent in what you say and what you expect. And you have to stay calm, be slow to speak, slow to wrath, quick to hear. So what we do is like, okay, we're not going to do that anymore. We don't do that here in the house. Others might do it, but we don't do that here. Here we talk normal. We got a problem, we talk eyeball to eyeball, face to face. So come up with some really common sense rules that you'll have to repeat 500 times, probably for a few years. But be consistent. The biggest thing is just being consistent.
Yeah, you know, I was raised in a family. I had all brothers, and there's a lot of teasing and cutting down. And as I became an adult, you know, I didn't have children until I was almost 30. So I traveled a lot, and I'd seen a lot, and so I had a lot of time to think about what type of a parent I wanted to be.
That's good. That's real good.
And I just had determined that I was never going to have strife and division and cutting down and teasing in my home. And I was careful, you know, not to do it, to set an example of that. But I remember one time my son was, 15 or 16 years old, and he just got really smart-alecky with me one day. And I just got real quiet, which terrifies my children. And so I just said, after a long pause, my expectation is that you're going to speak to me in the same respectful tone that I speak to you. And he dropped his head and he said, yes, ma'am. And we never had that again. But I had to set a precedence when he was 2.
Yes.
For that to be effective when he was 16.
Yes.
But then you say, well, am I too late?
No. It's never too late.
No, it isn't. It isn't. And if your children are high schoolers or junior hires, I mean, personally, I think the first thing I'd do is be honest with them. Hey, I've made a mistake.
Yes.
I did this wrong. I need to correct it. And just be honest with them and say, you know what? So here's where we're going to go moving forward. And I'm going to treat you this way with respect, and I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. We're going to have to probably have some corrections.
Yes, a little ping-pong tournament. Boom, yeah. Boom, 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 boom.
But, I mean, it's not too late. We can correct this.
Every day of your life, you get to teach and train. Every day you get to teach and train. You think, well, I've got it all down pat. No, you don't, because they've not been 6 before. And then they're 7. Then they turn 8, and you're like, you chase them the rest of their life. But God knows. God said he'll give you wisdom. You'll know what to say. I go back to, you know, be slow to respond. Just be real quiet and speak soft and
And I'd have to remind my daughter several times. I'd have to say, I am the mom, you are the daughter. Because at 2, she felt like she knew better. So it is a process. You know, you never stop parenting.
No.
Even when your children are adults.
Yes, you'll be doing that. I've said it so many times. When you're 90, your children are 70, you'll still be offering some wisdom. They'll still call you every now and then. Hey, have you ever been through this? Sure. What'd you do? Well, I did this. And hopefully you can have a relationship that lasts forever. The relationship does not stop at age 18. I don't care what book was written about that. Nobody's an adult at age 18. They're still growing. Some people don't mature till they're 50. So it's a process. So if you love your children, try to keep a relationship, maintain it. Be honest, tell the truth, don't lie. You know, the Bible says liars go to hell in Revelation. Don't lie, but just stay calm, you know. What do you think about this, Mom? Well, you know, I don't really like that. And, well, why? Well, if you keep doing that, this is probably going to happen. You know, I've been that age before. I've been through there. As a parent, I've already been through this. And so I always try to just be real calm. My kids have asked me something. So, well, and I always try to, I learned something. You mean when I went to Bible school finally, and Jesus always answered a question with a question. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he answered every question with a question. Dad, what do you think about this? I don't know. Sure. What do you think? And it works really good. It really does.
It does.
Just stay real calm. Well, how do you think this is going to work out? Well, I'm not sure. Well, maybe you need to find somebody that's been through this or talk to somebody that's smarter, you know, trying to do this, you know, whether you're trying to get in the band or get on the athletic team or get a date for the prom. You know, who else got a date for the prom? How did they get a date, you know?
Right.
Ask questions.
Well, and I think that if you come in heavy-handed and say, you know, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to have this anymore in our house.
That's going to burn you. That's going to burn you.
Yeah, I mean, particularly this generation is looking for someone that is authentic.
Ooh, they are. They're looking for truth. Yes, they are.
And so, I mean, I think the more honest you are, the more transparent you are, the more you say, you know what, I didn't necessarily have the best example.
Nope.
I'm learning. We're growing together. But this is what I'm seeing. I'm feeling convicted that this is going on in our home, and I don't want it to go on anymore. Yeah. I need your help. So
very good.
So
we used to tell people there are no perfect children because there's no perfect parents.
For sure.
The Bible says the righteous fall 7 times a day, and they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. Every day, every human gets to repent and forgive. It's just a normal process. So don't ever get arrogant because pride, that goes before a fall. Time you get mouthy and arrogant and prideful, you're going to look stupid and everybody's going to know it. You'll probably be the last to know.
That is true. So, yeah, I mean, I just think it's never too late. Never too late.
Just set some standards. And we've shared this before. We get some rules for your house. Don't change them. And we had 3 rules for the whole time our kids were at home. You know, no talking back to your mom and dad, no fighting your brothers and sisters, no telling a lie. I said, listen, I want you to have a great life, but don't violate these 3 rules. We don't tolerate that. I want you to live a long time. I want you to live a prosperous life and be blessed, have a lot of friends, but you won't have any if you do these 3 things. These are not going to go good for you. So those are the only 3 rules. I said, have a good time. I said, you got a lot of enemies. Your mom and dad's not one of them. We're trying to be a blessing to you. You're a gift from God. We're trying to train you up and give you back to God. So you just got to realize, no, we don't tolerate that, you know, throwing a fit or whatever, but you stay real calm. No, we're not going to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, years ago I heard a preacher say that the greatest thing we can ask of God is wisdom.
Mm. Yes.
It's for wisdom. And every day of my life, I say, God, your word says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of you. And I'm asking you to give me wisdom as a parent, as a spouse, as a friend, as a servant. And if you do that, God will give you the answer.
Yeah, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, the most important thing. The most important is wisdom. And then James tells, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and he'll give it to you liberally.
Right.
So every day, Father, I need to know what to do today as a parent, as a spouse. Give me wisdom, Lord. And you said, if I'd ask you, give it to me. So I got stuff to do. We have a busy day. So I just say a quick prayer, and I'm going, what's going to happen? Well, I'm going to have wisdom if something comes up. And we never see it coming. We never see the negative coming up. You know, hell doesn't send a notice. Hey, I'm coming at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Things happen. You got to stay real calm. Just learn to stay calm. Well, what are we dealing with here? We have to come up. I'm going to come up with an answer. We'll fix this. We're not trying to make somebody feel stupid or condemn or convict. That's the devil's job. We're trying to deliver. We're trying to point toward the future. So whatever you're dealing with, you need to describe, well, here's how we're going to act. Here's what we're going to do. Not, don't do this. You stop this. We're not going to tolerate this. No, say something like, here's how we're going to act. Here's how we're going to handle this.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I would say, you know, heed yourself as well, because you can't tell a kid not to be sarcastic or
that's good
or cutting down the teeth, and when you yourself are doing it,
yeah.
So you have to set the example.
You got to watch the conversation at the dinner table when you're on the weekend and you're just hanging out at the house. Don't let your mouth just start running wild,
yeah,
because they're picking that up. Yeah. Why is my kid so mouthy? Well, probably because you're mouthy.
And we're from the South.
Yes, we are.
And it's just natural conversation in the South to be teasing and cutting down and everything. And so, listen, I totally understand that challenge.
Believe God's going to give you wisdom. You'll know what to do. Just don't overreact and be real.
Okay, careful. So the next question is, what should I do if my children want to drop out of an activity?
That's a tough one.
My kids were, when they were little, it's probably about 3 and 6, were in this production company that would do plays and stuff. And they got cast one winter in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Well, it was great during that winter. And what this production company would do, it was really cool. They would have the main character would be someone from Broadway, and they'd hire professional musicians and everything, and they'd put on a 2-week show. It was a pretty serious, intense, but they loved the Joseph one because it was during the winter, and so they had to miss school occasionally to rehearse. So that summer, they got cast in Will Rogers' Follies. Mm. Well, there was only 4 children in that show, and they were 2
Come
of
on.
The kids.
Yeehaw.
So, but that summer, they had to rehearse, you know, during the summertime, and their cousins came from Florida, and so they had to leave. You know, they'd be playing outside and say, we have to go to rehearsal. And, oh, man, I don't know who was more miserable, them or me, driving. And why do we have to go? Why do we have to go? Why do we have to leave our friends? And I'm like, all the way there, I'd say, listen, we made a commitment. There's a whole cast there that is depending on you to show up. So when this is over, on opening night, if you can tell me this was not worth it, you will never have to do this again. But you're going to do it. We gave our word, we gave our commitment, and we're going to be people of our word. Well, that summer was just flat out miserable. That speech went on over and over and over again. So, gets ready for opening night, and the auditorium's packed and everything, and they did it like a real theater. I couldn't even go backstage, you know. They had flowers and all sent to them and everything. And anyway, they came out. It was like a full house. There was a couple thousand people there. And afterwards, they had a big party, a cast party, and everything. And so they're just grinning ear to ear, you know, and everybody's having a good time. And we're driving home from the cast party. And I said, so I just have a question for you. Was it worth it? And they said, it was so worth it. So after that, if anything would come up and they would want to quit, I'd say, remember that? And so that would always be a trigger. And I have to tell you, that went on through their lives. There are times I would even give them an out and say, you could probably quit that. And they'd say, nope, I'm going to finish it. I gave my word. So sometimes being a parent is not fun. And that was one miserable summer. So my suggestion, my thinking, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you need to hold them to their word.
Yeah, I wanted the kids to be busy, tired, and happy. And I thought that made for a great kid. So all our kids were very, all of them played athletics, you know, softball, soccer, basketball, baseball. They're all, and I wanted you busy. So one of my daughters, which is a very good athlete, all-state basketball player, did really good, but she realized the cheerleaders were getting lots of dates. And so I thought, and she said, well, Dad, I want to go out for cheerleading. I said, well, hon, you gonna play basketball? Well, cheerleading's in the morning, basketball's in the afternoon. We practice, they practice cheerleading in the morning from 6 to 7 every morning.
Well, now let me say, you lived how far from the school?
I was 30 miles from the school.
So you had to get up.
Yes.
And be there at?
Yes. About 6.
And would you go home, get the rest of the kids?
No, I'd fall asleep in the Suburban. I'd lay down.
Where were the other kids? How did they get to sleep?
Denise would bring them in. My wife would bring them in later. So anyhow, she pushed this thing down. I'm going to go off a chair. And I said, well, if you do it, you know, you got to commit for a year. You know, you got to commit for a year. She said, well, I can do it, Dad. Really, I can do it. Because she was very disciplined, very diligent. She practiced a lot, studied. She's making good grades. So the first morning we got up, okay, we got to get up, you know. So we got to get 5 o'clock to get out of there by 5:30 to take that run. And so The first morning, she's kind of griping and complaining. She doesn't have her makeup on. I said, no, you wanted to do this. And so the second morning, it was worse. By the third morning, we were yelling all the way to school. And so I pulled in the parking lot, and she's going in late as it is because we yell most of the way. And so I said, listen, you committed for a year. So you need to remember this. Next time, don't ever volunteer or ask for nothing because you're going to do it for the year. And so she did. She finished a year of cheerleading and playing basketball, and she learned something. Don't ever say you want to do it unless you're going to commit.
Mine was only a summer, a whole year, and mine wasn't at 6 a.m.
Oh, so. Man, that was horrible. I hated cheerleading forever. And it's one of my daughters got a scholarship as a college cheerleader, and I hated just as much. Man, that was a sport from Hades. It's like, you know, basketball had a season, football had a season, softball had a season. Cheerleading has no season. It's year-round. It's just year-round. I thought, what is this, guys? I mean, I didn't pay much attention to it, but having $5, I did pay attention. So,
and it's important that you keep your word.
Yes. As a parent also. And, because you're going to realize, I've got this kid for about 18 years until they get out and go to college, you mm-hmm. know. I'm building memories, and people would judge us sometimes. Man, your kids are everywhere all the time. Sometimes in the summertime, we'd be at two different ball fields. I got kids playing over here and kids playing over here. and so we would come home late at night, and all we've had for dinner is some nacho cheese and two hot dogs and three Pepsis. It's like, it really wasn't good for our health, but I realize we are committed. There's no afternoon dinner. We got practice. We got practice somewhere at a gym or a field or someplace. But this is a season in life. My kids only did it in high school. So for your 3 years in high school, we're committed. And I did like the fact, as a positive note, I liked the fact when we got home, they didn't want to do anything except go to bed. Yeah, I'm taking back, go to bed. I'm tired. Good. Praise God. Because you're too tired, you don't get into stupidity.
Yeah, when my son was little, I remember I used to say to him, the greatest gift you can give to me is for you to be a man of your word.
That's good.
And I said, you know, your word, if you tell me you're going to do something, I'll totally trust you.
Yes.
And believe you. But don't just flippantly give it to me. Think about it. To this day, he's 27 now. If I say, can you give me your word on that? He will think about it before he does it. But the great thing is that I instilled into him was how valuable your word is. And one time we were at the, this is how serious it was with him, how far reaching it would go, is one time we were in the Walmart, and you know how they have that as seen on TV section, which, by the way, I love. And there actually is a store in Florida, maybe more than one, I don't know, but as a seen on TV store. And I mean, my head almost spins across my
head.
Because, you know, you just need everything. Yeah. Well, they had this stuff called Mighty Putty. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yep.
And so, you know, you're supposed to like mash it together, and then it becomes like super, the most incredible glue product in the world. Well, so we're in Walmart, and my son, he's probably like 13, he goes, look, Mighty Putty. And so he goes, can I get some Mighty Putty? And I go, you sure can. If when we get home with that Mighty Putty, you'll fix that thing in the bathroom that's hanging down, you know, the towel rack.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay. I'm walking around the store, and we walk around two or three more aisles, and I just see him put Mighty Putty back on the shelf. I go, no, you've already given your word. Because he knows that if he gives it. So, yeah. So, anyway, it's pretty funny.
Everybody wants to take the easy way out, and you've got to train your children to think different. You know, mm-hmm. Angel and I are sitting here we have 8 adult kids. All have graduated from college. All have careers. That was not an accident. Boy, you were lucky. There's no such thing as luck. It was hard work. Man, you had knots that, you know, what is it? You got a science fair project. Well, I forgot it, Dad. When's it due? Tomorrow? Tomorrow? We're driving to town trying to find a science fair project at 10 o'clock at night. And so there were times where it was just like, man, it would stretch you 7 weeks for Sunday. But you realize, I only have them for a short amount of time. Eventually, because I came from a big family, I saw the process. Eventually, they will leave home. Well, when they leave home, you want them to stay gone, not get out of the house, can't hold a job, find 3 goofy friends and move back in. I want you to stay gone. I'm trying to train an adult. So you have to start thinking like an adult. And there'll be tough decisions in your life. I don't care what you do for a career. I don't care how much you love your job. Every job's got challenges. Every job has challenges. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus said, I'm going to build a church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Right. You've got to learn how to overcome and endure and go the second mile, you know, give your coat and your shirt. If you're not willing to do extra, you're probably not going to make it. And that starts at home. You're going to finish this. You're going to do this because this is what adults do. Welcome to the adult world.
And you have to, again, be an example.
Yes.
You can't be quitting stuff, you know.
Nope.
And then expect them. You can't, it doesn't work. Do as I say, not as I do. That never flies. And you know, it never stops. I mean, even as I said that those things to my son when he was little, and we went through various stages with the play and everything. Then we get to college, and my son's a junior in college, and he meets this girl. The challenge, that was the trial of my life right there. And, not the one he's currently with and engaged to. I adore her, but this girl. And he decides, he comes to me one day and he goes, I'm going to quit school and move to North Carolina. I said, no, you're not.
Yeah.
I said, son, I'm a single mother and I have struggled and I have sacrificed to get you where you are. And if I got to walk you to class every day in my pajamas, you are going to finish if you finish for me.
Sometimes you have to flip the coin over. They don't see this side. They see their side. Let me show what the other side looks like. And, you know, let's look at you 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road. Let's find somebody else that made these decisions. What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not a luck thing. This is how much you want to put in and how much price you want to pay. Like, you can't just duck and run. And so it happens all your life. There's no magic road. There's no yellow brick road. But it's a great road. God said it's an honor. Children are a gift from God. That's what he said. You're a gift. Bless your heart. You're a gift. I didn't realize you are a gift. Bless your heart. And they are a gift, but we're to train them up and give them back. So eventually, what are you trying to do? Produce an adult. We're trying to produce an adult. And that you enjoy getting up every day. You enjoy solving problems. You enjoy going to work, fixing things, and deal with knotheads that don't want to do their job. You need to enjoy life. That's what this is about. So you go through life two ways, griping, thumb sucking, or enjoying the process of fixing stuff the rest of your life. That's what we're trying to raise.
And when they learn that lesson about not dropping out of things and quitting things just because it's uncomfortable or not easy,
yes.
What a great life skill. Like when work stinks and you don't want to go. I mean, I had a job for 8 years that I absolutely hated every minute of it. It was so far out of my comfort zone.
Woo.
But I did it because I didn't have a choice. I was a single mother.
Welcome to the adult world.
I didn't like it. But anyway, so I would encourage you to encourage them to see the thing through.
Yes. Collect some biographies. I collected about 1,200 biographies when I was a school administrator about people who became millionaires and billionaires, most of whom didn't even finish elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but they were very diligent, and mm-hmm. they had a gift, and they stayed at it. You know, somebody asked Edison one time about, he said, you know, we're trying to invent the light bulb. Don't you feel bad taking money from investors that you've not been able to make this work? He said, no, I'm really excited. I found 10,000 ways the light bulb will not work. I'm making great progress. And, of course, he did find the answer. And so I collected just biographies of people that went through hard times and endured. Abraham Lincoln, when he was elected president, somebody asked him, what do you do? He said, I'm a politician. How long have you been a politician? 30 years. And he said, really? How many offices have you served in? None. They said, well, what? We've been to, well, so he ran for 16 different offices, and he lost 16 elections. But when every time he'd lose an election, he'd run for a higher office. And eventually he ran for president and got elected, and he saved the country. People that do great things endure.
Mm-hmm.
They overcome. They go the extra mile. And so I want to produce children. We want to have kids that leave home. Like, what are we going to do? Well, I'm going to scare hell when I wake up in the morning. I want to make the devil break out into cold sweat. Oh, my goodness, they're up. Yes, they are, big boy, coming for you.
That's a fact. Okay.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.